We are in Netivot Shalom on Parshat Nitzavim. We are in the piece Parshat HaTshuvan, page Kuf Tzadi Dalid. Again, I want to thank our anonymous sponsor, wishing a great year for the entire world. Bezrat Hashem, that bracha should be chal on everybody in this Zoom room and on all of us wherever we may be. Parshat HaTshuvah, that's in this week's parasha. The paragraph of the Torah called Parashat HaTshuvah appears in this week's parsha in Parshat Nitzavim. Says in Netivot Shalom, Vaya ki avo alecha kol hadvarim ha'ele, habracha ve'haklala. When all of these things come upon you, both the brachot and the klalot of the previous parsha, and also the beginning of this week's parsha, but certainly seemingly we're referencing the brachot and the klalot and the tochacha in last week's parsha, Parsha Kitavo. Asher natati lefanecha, that I have placed before you. Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha vishamata bikolo. You will return to Hashem your God and you will hear His voice. Says the Netivot Shalom, Parasha zo, Parashat HaTshuva, Korimota bechol shana b'shabbat achrona shel hashana. This parsha, the parsha of Tshuva, this section of the Torah, this paragraph of the Torah in Parshat Nitzavim is called the Parsha of Tshuva. We read it every single year on the last Shabbos of the year. Always on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Next Shabbos is Rosh Hashanah. There is no parsha next Shabbos. It is Rosh Hashanah. This is the final Shabbos of the year. Vine behemshech ne'emar. And as we go further along in that parsha, it says, again, when I say parsha, I mean the paragraph of Tshuva. The parsha, it says, Im yeni dachecha b'kseh ha'shamayim, misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, misham yikabetzcha. Such beautiful psukim. If you're on the other WhatsApp group, I mean, in the shir that I give on this week on Parsha Nitzavim, I basically just quote and translate every pasuk in the parsha. We're at the fevered pitch at the end of Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu, the parshas now, they're 30, 40, 50 psukim long, not longer than that. They're these short parshiot that are just packed with emotion, packed with depth, packed with poetry. They're incredible parshiot that we lose. Again, like I mentioned before we even started, that I was going to do something on Rosh Hashanah. I was like, no, we always miss these parshas because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is coming. And that's true. And we need to prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But two things. One is, we can't miss these parshiot. We can't. As Klal Yisrael, we need these parshiot. These parshiot that, again, this fevered pitch at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life and speech, where he's telling us mamish how to be Jews, how to live life as a Jew through history. We need these parshas of Nitzavim Vayilecha Azinu Vezo Sabracha. We need these parshiot. And on a deeper Ashkafic level, as Rabbi Rav Amos always points out, that we often overlook the fact that parshiot always fall out the same time of year, as he just said in the Tivot Shalom. If this parsha, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized things, that Parsha Nitzavim every year is Erev Rosh Hashanah, it means that the essence of Erev Rosh Hashanah is in Parsha Nitzavim. And lo and behold, Parsha Nitzavim is right there. So we need to be learning these parshiot. I saved the file. We're going to learn. We'll do our Shana next week. There's no parsha next week. So we'll do our Shana next week. So I saved it already. Now we'll start on time next week because the photocopy's already there. But this week we have to do Nitzavim, and that's what he's saying here. Look at the words here. The poetry here. B'amshich ne'emar im yeni dachecha b'kseh ha'shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us through Moshe, if the ones of you that have been pushed off, if you'll be at the ends of the heavens, Misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha, from there HaKadosh Baruch will gather us in at the end of days. Umisham yikachecha, from there He'll take us. He's going to gather us in no matter how far we've gone. Literally in exile, figuratively, metaphorically, no matter how far we've strayed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take His loving hand and bring us all back together. The Ita B'Torahs Avos, it says in the Sefer Torahs Avot of the Slonimer, Alpi Divrei HaZohar HaKadosh, in the name of the Zohar, explaining the Zohar, Shemidat Yisod Nikreit Ktzeh HaShamayim, that the Mida of Yisod, meaning the issues revolving around specifically sexual purity, that's called Ktzeh HaShamayim, from the ends of the earth, for whatever reason. Sha'atorah Kedosha Omeret, Sha'afilu Miyeni Dachecha Bifgam Mida Zo, Misham Yikabetz Hashem Elokecha, that even if, Lo Aleinu, we sinned in the worst ways possible, in the areas of Giloy Arayot, and that's he's saying, the Zohar saying is hinted to here, that those who have sinned in a way that put them to Ktzeh HaShamayim, those who even sinned in the area of Yisod, those who sinned in different ways in realms of Giloy Arayos, even, no matter how far we've gone, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu begged us all year to be in a relationship with Him, and we turned our backs on Him and entered into a relationship with somebody that was forbidden to us in spite of God, we turned our relationship energy away from God and turned it towards somebody else, which really at its heart means that we turned it into our own self-gratification, really turned inward, and not inward in a good way, really turned towards ourselves and we moved in terms of selflessly dedicating ourselves in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to selfishly dedicating myself only to my own instant gratification. Even if I've gone that far off, even if I cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us back. And whether it's relevant in that area or each one of us in our own lives, each one of us with our own Averot, all of us in our own Averot, whatever level we're on, whatever mistakes we've made, whatever issues we're working on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. V'tzarich lomar, she'af de'ita b'zohar HaKadosh, al-pagamim eilu ein tshuva mo'elet, medubar kam b'tshuva ski'a de'ita sham b'zohar shi mo'elet af l'pagamim eilu. Without getting into the specifics of the issues here, which are not for everybody on this Zoom, that no matter how deep the issues are in terms of what we've done that were wrong, no matter how hard the tshuva may be, no matter how tough the tshuva may be, there's always tshuva, and we can always use tshuva, and we can always get back. Tshuva is accessible to all of us. I'm actually learning now. We're learning Maseches Yoma this month in Lev HaTorah. And so we're doing the last few dapim, which talk about issues of tshuva. And even in the Mishnah itself, it says, this and this get you kapara. This and this and tshuva get you kapara. And it points out, no. The Mefarshim say, no, tshuva on everything. You need tshuva. And tshuva can bring you back from anything. Even we just did the line today, which talked about how it says that if a person says, I'll sin and then I'll do tshuva. I'll sin and then I'll tshuva. The Mishnah says, tshuva doesn't cut it. If you sin because you know you're going to tshuva, tshuva doesn't cut it. The Mefarshim says, no. Normal tshuva doesn't cut it. But deeper tshuva can still bring you back. Deeper tshuva can always bring us back. There's always a doorway back through tshuva. And remember that, no matter how far away we ever feel, no matter how much we're at the ends of the earth, we're so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tshuva can always bring us back. Next line, V'yesh la'avin, ha'gdara mahi tshuva ski'a ha'mo'elet l'kol. What is this deeper level of tshuva that can bring us back mamish from anything? Odam du ha'mefarshim alomro ki avohu alecha ha'bracha v'aklala. Also the Mefarshim ask, it says that when this happens, and you get the brachas and the klalas from last week's parsha, lama u'tshacha lomar bracha? Meaning tell me, okay, even when the klalas happen, I'll still bring you back, you'll survive, you'll make it through, you'll do tshuva, you'll come back. Why does it say, and also when the bracha comes upon you, of course when I have the bracha, I'm totally fine. I'm good if I have the bracha. I don't need any reassurance that I'm... Meaning, you'll have bracha. Great, I have bracha, and also I'll bring you back. What does that do with anything? Just say, even when the klala comes, I'll bring you back. Even when the klala comes, you'll be able to do tshuva. What does the bracha have anything to do with that? Didishlama klala muvan shemora klala meoreret yudi l'tshuva. That I understand in terms of the klala, that the klala, when I see the curse, when I have the negativity in my life, that will inspire me to do tshuva. When the negative things happen to me, I realize that I've done something wrong. And it will hopefully bring out in me tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish us for his own entertainment or amusement, chas v'shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings negativity our way as a wake-up call that we need to fix something. Everything is l'tovateinu. Everything is for our good. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the negative to us, it's in order to guide us in the right way. Aval habracha eichi nevi'a l'tshuva. How does bracha bring a person to tshuva? This is parshat tshuva. When the klala comes upon you, fine. So klala is going to help bring me to tshuva. When the bracha comes upon you, how does that get me to tshuva? It's good times. How does that get me to tshuva? Vodi tzima katuva bracha l'klala. And even more so, that it says bracha first and then klala. Why does it even give prominence to bracha? That when discussing it, it lists bracha first. So let's see if we can understand. Next paragraph. V'yish la'avim. Alpima shekatuva chida, based on what the chida says, benachal kedumim, ala pasuk, vishavta ar Hashem elokecha, ha'amor b'tchilata parasha, that it says, vishavta ar Hashem elokecha, you'll return to Hashem your God, which it says at the beginning of this parasha. He says, vishavta otiot Shabbat. That to return, vishavta, are the same letters as Shabbat. Hainu, she'atshuvat shvicha gam l'shabbos kodesh. The tshuva requires Shabbos Kodesh. That there's a unique capacity within Shabbos to mamish bring us back. Dishleimut ha-tshuva, hi rak b'tseruf im Shabbos Kodesh. That the perfect, a complete tshuva, only comes along with Shabbos Kodesh. Ba'yish koach elyon shel tshuva. And then it's a totally higher level, a totally different space of tshuva. As Chazal themselves say, top of the next column, Hashomer Shabbat kilcheta, that somebody who keeps one Shabbos, mamish really keeps Shabbos properly, halachically, ashkafically, mamish keeps Shabbos. Not an easy thing to do. The Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Chelek Gimel, which talks about Hilchos Shabbos, says, he describes just how challenging, just how difficult it is to really keep Shabbos halachically, let alone halachically and ashkafically. Afilu avad avodah zara kedor enosh mochalin lo. Even if a person does avodah zara like in the generation of Enosh, even if a person does the worst avodah zara that there is, you can get mechila if you mamish keep Shabbos. Shabbos is a reality of coming back. Shabbos is a reality of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is the depth, a bit of the depth of what Shabbos is about. We're reuniting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're leaving all of the noise of the week. We're coming back to the source of bracha. We're coming back to the source of kiddusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is uniting with us. We're returning and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a totally different way on Shabbat. The depths of tshuva open up on Shabbat. Not in the sense of the Al-Chitz. In the sense of that I return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Shabbos is supposed to be. Shabbos is a time of connection. Those of us who work, Bezrat Hashem, to live Shabbos right, and it's not an easy thing to do. In our generation, a lot of us may come from families that don't necessarily do it that way. I've had so many students over the years who come from families who don't understand what Shabbos is, and Shabbos can be a very painful experience if you don't have Shabbos in your Shabbos. But Shabbos is all about connecting. We turn off the cell phones. We turn off all the electronics. We turn off all the noise. We come together. First of all, the concept of family dinner has almost totally disappeared. There are some families like ours that still fight for family dinner every night. But family dinner is so important. But even if you don't have family dinner, so once a week, you all come to the table together. And you sit down. And even those of us who have family dinner, I just came back from afternoon Seder, and then I got to run to night Seder in terms of my teaching. Or a person has a job, they have things to do, they have places to go, there's so much going on. Teenagers, they're not interested in staying there, their phone's buzzing, someone's calling, they got to run outside, there's 1,000 other things to do. Friday night, you come to the table. There's nowhere to go, there's nothing to do. There's everything to do. To reconnect. Shalom Aleichem, to welcome in the Malachim. Eishes Chayil, to sing and to reflect upon Shabbos Kodesh. And if you're married and a man, reflect upon the greatness of your wife. To go forward and then to go and say Kiddush and recognize I'm being Mekadesh Shabbat. I'm bringing Kiddusha into my life through Shabbos. And I'm sanctifying it through this beautiful cup of wine. Unless you're me and you're drinking grape juice, because I can't drink wine, right? Those of you who remember Purim with me. Yeah? So your cup of grape juice, to be Mekadesh it over a cup of grape juice. Right? You know, and then you go, you wash your hands, and you say Hamotzi, and then you sit, and Shabbos is meant, again, unfortunately, many families need to reconnect to this itself, to reconnect to each other, to reconnect to our spouses, to reconnect to our children, to reconnect to our parents. There's nowhere to go to connect with each other. Friday night, Shabbos day, go to shul. Can you imagine on a weekday, you tell somebody, yeah, you'll go to work, just go to shul for 2.5 hours first. People would go crazy. And I'm sure they exist in Eretz Yisrael also. In Chutz La'aretz, you'd go to minyanim that were mamish like matzah minyans, the 18-minute minyans for Shachris. I don't even know how you say all the words in 18 minutes. On Shabbos, somehow we find 2.5 hours to go to shul. And then after shul, we go out in half an hour, you schmooze. On whatever Shabbos shul you go to like a young Israel type of shul, and the whole community schmoozes and hangs out. Right, I go to a shul that's a little bit more separate. So there's a bunch of guys who say, no, we need to have community. And they have separately, they have a guy's kiddush. They have a kiddush for the guys, and then they recognize that the women are important also. And they have a section for the women also, and the kiddush, even in this shul, in this area of Beit Shemesh. There's a men's section and a women's section. Why? Because everybody should be able to connect with each other in the right way. You have to connect. Who just hangs out and davens and schmoozes and eats for 3 hours before lunch? We're crazy people. Jews are crazy people. But that's what we do back before Corona, right? That's what we did. Because there's such an emphasis on Shabbos on connecting. Connecting with family, connecting with friends, connecting with community. And ultimately, because what are we trying to connect to? Connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The secret is returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the food, through family, through friends, through community, through tefillah. That's the secret right in there. But to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To stop and reflect and just, there's again, nowhere to go, nothing to do. To learn a little bit extra. If we don't get to learn during the week, to learn a little bit on Shabbos, to open up a sefer, because the phone's not buzzing and nobody's calling and work isn't harassing me. To open up a sefer. Hebrew, English, doesn't matter. Open up a sefer, learn. To talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To go for a walk and just reflect upon my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To talk to him in my mouth or with my head. We often wear masks now anyway. You don't look weird if you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's nobody there if you're behind a mask. So go out and just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the streets. Nobody can see you're talking anyway. Go and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. to daven a little longer, to reconnect. Shabbos is all about tshuva, not the alchitz of tshuva. Shabbos is all about the reconnecting of tshuva. That's what it's all about. Continuing on back in the piece. As always, if you have questions or thoughts or comments, feel free to put them in the chat box. Moving on to the next paragraph. It's three lines into the second column. V'abiyur bazeh. Dinei yesh tshuva me'yirah, v'yesh tshuva me'ahava. There's two different types of tshuva that we're all very familiar with. There's tshuva out of yira, there's tshuva out of fear, and there's tshuva out of ahava, there's tshuva out of love. Ukemosha katuv chazal, as chazal say, da'ashav me'yirah, zdonot na'asot lo kishkagot. Again, a very famous and well-known Gemara. If you don't know it, now you do know it, but I'm sure you'll hear it this time of year, for sure, at some point in your life. Da'ashav me'yirah, that one who does tshuva out of fear, it's tremendously powerful. You can transform any intentional sin you may have done over the year. If you mamish do tshuva out of fear of punishment, out of fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can transform those intentional sins to a less severe accidental sin, less repercussions. But vashav me'ahava, but if a person mamish goes and returns to a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of love from a place of ahava, zdonot na'asot lo kizchuyot, you can mamish transform intentional sins, not just erase the sin. You can actually transform those sins into schuyot. It's an incredible concept. It's an incredible concept. Imagine the image I always like to give. It's like, imagine everybody here in this Zoom, you guys are all tzaddikim and tzidkaniyot, everybody in this Zoom. You're already preparing that after 120, you're going to have your huge sack of mitzvot hung over your shoulder, and you walk them to Gan Eden, and you plop them down in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you say, this is my down payment for Gan Eden. And as you're sitting there negotiating with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the best plot of land in Gan Eden, you hear this annoying creaking sound in the background that's ruining this glorious moment you've waited for literally your whole life, because it's over, that you've waited for your whole life. And this creaking gets louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And you turn and say, what is this? And you see that guy. You see that girl, you know who I'm talking about. That one. The one who's, your whole life, you're like, this person has no shot at Gan Eden. The way they act, the way they treat me, this person has no shot at Gan Eden. And lo and behold, he or she, they start coming up behind me, right? We're equal opportunity employer for Zchuyot and Shkagot and Zdonot, right? Doesn't matter, he or she comes up behind you, right? And you turn around, and they're, what's the creaking sound? They're wheeling along this huge cart of mitzvot. And they say, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And they drop it down right next to you in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you sit there going, I don't understand. I worked my whole life for Gan Eden. I worked my whole life for Olam Haba. I got this bag. How did she get a whole cart? I don't understand. What happened? This is the insanity of it. Yes, he or she was sitting their whole life. But at some point, they managed to do such a deep tshuva out of Ahava. They actually managed to transform all of those zdonot, not just to erase them, but into schuyot, into a down payment on Gan Eden. That's the power. That's the power of tshuva me'ahava. There's another story that's, I don't know if this is true. I question my own pshat in this, but I've often wondered if this is the case, and I haven't looked into it deeply enough to know if it is pshat. Anybody ever heard the story of Elazar ben Dordai? I think I'm pronouncing it right. I haven't looked up the story in ages. Right? Did I say it right? Somebody's saying it's unmuted.
Sounds all right.
Yeah? Elazar ben Dordai. And he went and he frequented every prostitute there was in the world. And he found the one that he hadn't met yet. So he traveled to the ends of the earth to meet with this woman. And he's about to engage in sin with her. We're all adults here. This is the Gemara. This is what the Gemara says. One has to understand it. Interesting prostitutes in that time. She passes gas at that moment, and she turns around to him and says, just like this gas will never go back to its source, so too will you never return to your source for all the sins that you've done. Different times, right? So that's what happens when he comes across her, right? Getting mussar from the prostitute. So at that moment, though, she does actually inspire tshuva in him. And he goes, and the Gemara goes into detail. He runs into the fields, and he starts crying, and he asks the mountains and the valleys and the hills and the sky and the sun and the moon, please, 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 help me do tshuva for me, do tshuva for me. And they all say, no, we have to take care of ourselves. We can't do it for you. And then he goes, and he puts his head between his knees, And he cries out, and his soul goes up to Shamayim. And a bas kol comes out and says, Rav Elazar ben Dardai has entered Gan Eden. Not just that he went into, Rav, how is that possible? All he did his whole life was run over his own physical pleasure. All he did his whole life was sin. Now it seems to me in that instance it was out of Europe, but based on this I've always wondered, maybe that is the epitome, that story is the epitome of Tshuva Me'ahava. Yeah, he sinned his whole life. And he did such a deep tshuva that mamish his soul left his body. That was how deeply he did tshuva. And if I'm right, if I'm right, and it was tshuva me'ahava, his whole life of sinning, because it was true, real tshuva, out of real ahava, he mamish turned a whole life. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us this capacity. If we really do tshuva, we can even take our sins and turn them into schuyot. We can mamish take it, they can take us to Gan Eden. Think of how beautiful, what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us. The gift that he gives us. You sinned against, he says, you sinned against me. You rebelled against the king. You rebelled against the king of all kings. And despite that, I'm going to give you the opportunity to turn that rebellion into closeness. It's incredible. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how much he loves us. And that's, when we show that love back, we can bring it right back to him. We can come right back to him. So what is the Nedivot Shalom? After you quoted that Gemara, he says, the Lechora, the four lines into the paragraph, Hadavar azeh tamua me'ot. This whole thing is totally wild. It's astonishing. The Bishlam b'shav me'ira. Then, okay, fine, if I do tshuva out of fear, I can understand. If I do tshuva, so my sentence is lessened. I'm showing that I'm remorseful. I'm showing that I feel bad. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you did something wrong, so I'm going to lessen your sentence. I'm going to be lenient with you. But how can it be? Bishav me ahava, that when a person does tshuva out of ahava, shavim rot shasa yali uskot, how can they become schuyos? They were averos. Where did he get the schuyos from? He didn't earn it. He doesn't deserve it. How does that happen? It goes against all logic. It goes against all nature. But the concept of tshuva me'ahava, humadregan niflaa lemala minateva, it's totally beyond nature. You're right. It doesn't make sense. It's beyond logic. It's beyond nature. We're dealing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's beyond everything. There's nothing that's impossible for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I don't care that it doesn't make sense. I love you, and love doesn't make sense. Ha'ava mekalkelat tashra, love makes you go crazy. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, fine, it doesn't make sense. But you know what, if you do tshuva me'ahava, they become schuyos. Whatever, it'll bring us closer, it'll be great, it'll be good. He doesn't, that's fine, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make sense. I love you, it doesn't matter. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu says. Kemo shekduva Ramas, the Ramas says, Hilchos tshuva. And hear what he says. And Dafka, by the way, note that the Rambam's description of what true Ahavat Hashem is appears in Hilchos Tshuva. That in and of itself is eye-opening. That the Rambam describes what is real Ahavat Hashem, he tells you in Hilchos Tshuva because that's what real Tshuva is supposed to be. It's supposed to be from Ahavat. You have to understand what Ahavat Hashem is. So he says, Ketzari Ahava Ruya. What's real Ahavat? And this is the Rambam talking. Right? The ultimate rationalist. Spoiler warning, the Rambam had a neshama, the Rambam had a heart, the Rambam had a soul. Just because rationalist people pretend that he doesn't mean that he didn't have one. Don't let them rewrite history on you. Hear the Rambam describe Ahavas Hashem. Hear the Rambam describe it. Ketzari Ahava Ruya, Hishiyahavet Hashem Ahava Gidola Yitira Azam Me'od. It doesn't mince words. And look at how many words he puts in here. The person loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a huge, excessive, strong love. Until that person's soul is bound up in love of God. Till you become crazy with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You mamish become crazy. Till the person's mamish, Rambam said it first, till you become lovesick. That's what he just wrote. Till you become lovesick for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shein dato pnuya, that your whole mind is not even open. Bein b'shavto, bein b'kumo, bein b'shashu ochel v'shateh. Doesn't matter whether you're up, you're down, you're sleeping, you're awake, you're just thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeter mizet ya'avat Hashem b'lubavai. Even greater than that is Ahavat Hashem. That's what Ahavat Hashem is. You know, if you're somebody who's not yet married, right? Bezrat Hashem, you still probably have, I'm sure you can think back to when you met a boy or you met a girl and you had a crush on them, right? Think back a year or two or three or a day or two or three, right? And you're sitting there by your phone the whole day you're sitting there waiting because you WhatsApp them. Are they going to blue check? Are they not going to blue check? Are they going to respond? Are they not going to respond? Oh, it says they're typing. It's stopped. Maybe they were just reading it. I don't know. And your whole, you don't rest. 3 hours pass. You're just staring at the screen and nothing's happening. Back in my day, because I'm like super old, like technology 10 years ago may have been from the Stone Age, right? I remember sitting there when I was in high school. I was going to hang out with somebody in elementary school and it was during break. And I left them a message. I remember sitting by my corded phone all day during elementary school, waiting for that person to call back. Obviously, she never did, because I obviously was not cool back then. But I waited all day by that phone. I didn't move the whole day. I didn't do anything that whole day. We've all been there. Especially if you're somebody here, there's people here who are married. When you meet the person you're going to marry, my I think I can call my mother saying this. I don't see why not. Mother always says this. My mother runs a preschool. She says, in a heartbeat, I'll marry somebody pregnant over somebody engaged. Somebody who's pregnant, I know that they're going to be out, and they'll be out for a certain amount of time, and they'll come back. Somebody who's engaged, I don't know if they're ever going to be mentally with me until they get married. Because when a person's engaged, if you've been there, B'zrat Hashem, I'm talking about by all of you, but for those of you who've already been there, even if you haven't been there, I'm sure that you've had friends who've gotten engaged and they like fall off the face of the planet. They're suddenly unable to answer anything, right? I'm sure you've all been there. You've had a friend who's gotten engaged and like, what happened to them? How did they disappear for 6 months until the wedding and for a year after the wedding? Where did they go? There's pictures on Facebook. There's pictures of them. I know that they're alive. Why can't I reach them? When do they have time? They're lovesick for their spouse. Now, that isn't to say, by the way, as long as we're going there, just in a very important parenthesis, we're talking about this feeling of excitement during the dating and early marriage process. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist in marriage. I'll tell you exactly what it means. Those feelings are a gift. Those feelings of intense closeness. And if it's the person who you're meant to marry, after you've married them at the beginning of Shana Rishona, of real intense love, if it's truly the one and you've married them, of true love, that's very real. But a certain point of time, that euphoria goes away. And in the secular world, that's viewed as the honeymoon period has ended and now marriage isn't as exciting. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu. That's the secular world putting poison in our minds. That was a gift to understand how great the love can be, even though it's unearned. Then you spend every single day of the rest of your life working to earn that relationship of love. And if you understand that, then you understand the secret to Ahavat Hashem. Because you can feel those same feelings from a Kafir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it requires the exact same effort. A couple that's so busy with everything else after a year or two into marriage, their job and their career and their life and this person and that WhatsApp and this Facebook and that thing I have to go to and this thing I have to take care of, and they don't have time for each other anymore. They cross paths in the house. There's nothing being put in there. A marriage that thrives is a marriage that puts in every single day. Where you spend time together. Where until you have kids, you do have family dinner together. Even when it's just the two of you. That's your family. That's family dinner. You're investing in the relationship. You spend some Shabbos meals at home, just the two of you together. You make sure to go on walks, go on activities. You go out to the park. You go to movies. You go to theme parks. Whatever it is that you're doing, you do together. You invest in the relationship. And then you grow real love. And then you have jobs that go further, and then you have kids. And then you gotta find time late at night. This week, in the insanity of Corona and the kids, this and that, all night I was just like, I can't be in this house anymore, and we need to spend time together. I just need a walk. And we just went out and went for a walk. To turn off all the noise and to spend time. That's investing in the relationship. We have to invest in the relationship. But it's not like, people ask all the time, how are we supposed to have a relationship of love with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How am I supposed to feel? I remember those feelings of butterflies when I had a crush on a girl, I had a crush on a guy when I was younger. How am I supposed to have that for a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is because you're way past that. You're already married to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You were at Har Sinai. The chuppah was held over your head at Har Sinai. We're already married to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We've been married for a long time. The only way you're going to feel love is if you put in. The only way we can feel connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is if we put in. is if we talk to him, if we make time for him. If we pay lip service to our spouse, we're not connected to our spouse. We just respond to texts and work out the logistics. That's not a relationship. We need to talk from the soul. If you go to shul and you just say the words, you want to have a relationship. You need to talk from the soul. When you have Shabbos, you need to have Shabbos with your soul. When you open up, even if you're doing Daf Yomi, I'm doing Daf Yomi now, there are times where Daf Yomi doesn't feel exciting because I just got to get through the Daf because I have so many things going on. But in the times when we don't, to stop, slow it down, and really get into that Gemara and learn with my soul. I need to connect. Doesn't come easy? Welcome to life. Love in marriage doesn't come easy. Love with the Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't come easy. But in both, if we work at it, this is what we can feel. And this is what the Rambam expects us to work towards. That love sickness. That total immet. My whole, I'm eating, I'm sleeping, it doesn't matter. All I can do is think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When you're lovesick over that person, you're eating and you're thinking to yourself, oh, she would love this food. Oh, she doesn't like this kind of food. She likes it with a different type of spice. Oh, you're eating and all you're thinking about is her. The whole time. You don't even realize you're going to eat the meal. Because every bite, you're just thinking about her in a different way. You go to sleep. Should I stay up another 5 minutes? Maybe she'll still be up. If I go to sleep now, will she be up when I wake up in the morning before I go to... It's what you think about. When you're dating, you're engaged. That's what you think about. It's the same thing. You have to work for it. That's what we can work towards. Working towards that, doing tshuva. Think about that now. Now it doesn't make sense. But it makes sense. If you're really lovesick for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and you say to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, I don't care. Punishments, no punishments, whatever. I just want to get back to you because I miss you. I just want to get back to you because I can't stop thinking about you. I just want to get close to you because I can't believe I moved away because that's craziness. Why would I have done such a thing? Think about it from a Kaddish Baruch Hu's perspective. He goes, I don't know why you ate the cheeseburger. That was insanity. That was craziness. But I'm looking at you now, crying, not because you're afraid I'm going to punish you, but crying because you distanced yourself from me, and you miss me, and all you want to do is be close to me, and you can't believe that you hurt me. How could I not take you back? How could I not connect with you? So it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense, because love doesn't make sense, but it makes sense. That's what it's talking about. That's tshuva me'ahava. It supersedes everything because you've skipped... Because what is... In my understanding, what's tshuva me'ahava really? You're skipping all the steps. Torah, mitzvos, all this stuff, it's to get us that mitzvah, the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And you can't skip over the mitzvah. You have to do it through mitzvah. I'm not saying that there's a special way to bypass the mitzvah. But if lo aleinu we sin, and then we come back out of love, the whole goal was love in the first place. So God says, you managed to sin, and because you love me so much, you've turned this sin into an opportunity to reflect and to draw yourself closer to me out of pain because you love me? How could I not take you back? How could I not take you back with open arms? As you sit there and cry and say, I didn't mean it, it was craziness and I'm never going to do it again. I never wanted to hurt you, I don't know what happened. All I want to do is be close to you. How could you say no? How could you say no? And if you're one of the guys on this year, you'll be doing that a lot in marriage. All the time. In marriage. If you're one of the women in this year, you'll be listening to your husbands figure it out over the course of many months that they were in fact wrong, and you'll be patient with them till they figure it out. Be patient with us. We're very slow, very egotistical, and very stubborn. But we get there. When we finally get there and say, I'm sorry, I never meant to hurt you. That was never the goal. I can't believe I was so insensitive. You know already in your heads. You'll say, I get it. And you can't do it again, but of course I'll take you back. Of course we can fix this. Because I see how much you love me. That's what we're talking about. Let's go back inside. Unless somebody has a question, comment, thought. Sorry, it's an intense time of year. Good? Alright. Keep going. V'hu sheshlomo ha-melech amar, the first one is Derech Mashal. Around eight lines from the bottom or so. Derech Mashal. This is what David HaMelech, this is what Shlomo HaMelech said. Ki cholat ahava ani. Shlomo Melech said again, these are what our greatest people over Jewish history have been, this is what they were talking about, this is what they were writing about, this is the poetry they were writing long before the poets that we read in English class. Ki cholat ahava ani. I'm lovesick for you, says Shlomo HaMelech. He felt it for real. That's what he felt. I'm mamish lovesick for you. And what did Shlomo HaMelech build? What did he build? He built the Beit HaMikdash. He created Shalom Bayis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It takes somebody lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mamish build the Beit HaMikdash. V'chol Shir HaShirim, and he writes Shir HaShirim, all of Shir HaShirim, Mashal Olin Yazeh, it's all a mashal for this love. V'lo Matzinu B'Rambam, Od Lashon Kazeh B'Shar Mitzvot Kitzadu Kiyumam Ar-Oi. We don't see any Lashon like this in the Rambam anywhere else. V'lo Katav Kitzadu Yirav Ar-Oi. Meaning, first of all, this language in general is wild for the Rambam. Second of all, he doesn't explain Yirat Hashem in this, to this detail, but he takes the time to spell out Ahavat Hashem. Only in Avatashem he says, what is real Ahava? That mamish to be lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Odik Shuam Afarshim. The Farshim also ask, that these halachos of Avatashem should be in the foundations of Torah. What are they doing in Hilchos Tshuva? We already mentioned this. What are they doing in Hilchos Tshuva? There's a whole section called Avatashem in Hilchos Yisodei Torah. Why would you not explain Ahavat Hashem in the chapter called Ahavat Hashem? That's where it belongs. He was the master organizer of Shas in Jewish history. Why wouldn't the Rambam put it there? Why is he putting in Hilchos Tshuva? Because he wants to tell you it's in organization more important than understanding Ahavat Hashem in the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem. More important than that is understanding Ahavat Hashem in the context of Tshuva. That's what the Rambam's telling us. It's an incredible thing. That's what the Rambam's telling us by Dafka going out of his way to put it in the wrong place, because it's the right place. That's where it belongs. Because you can't say to somebody, do Tshuva Me'ava, and not explain what Ahava is. You can't let them miss the opportunity for Tshuva Me'ava, because they have to know what Ahava is. She'a Tshuva Re'ava Shlema, because that's real Tshuva, top of the next page. That's real Tshuva. Eich na'asim al yada hazdonot l'schuyot, how you can mamish use this capacity to transform intentional, willful sins into schuyos in olam haba. Incredible thing. The alzeh katav, second line, the alzeh katav keitzari ahava re'uya, and this is what it means when it says, what is the true, proper ahava? Hainu mahi ota tshuva me'ahava ruya she'useh tazonot, meaning what is the proper ahava that can transform intentional sins into schuyot? V'ushi'ahavet Hashem ahava gedula v'chulei, and that's what it means, that you mamish love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything you have. She'echolei cholei ahava, that you're mamish lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad she'inu yachol lo lechol, to the point you mamish can't eat, and you can't drink, and you can't sleep. When I was engaged, So we had a weird situation, but we had a very firm engagement. It was only 6 weeks long. My father-in-law, Alav HaShalom, was sick at the time, and Baruch Hashem, he ended up living years longer than we thought he would. He was very, very sick at the time, and we ended up being engaged only for 6 weeks. In fact, I wanted to get engaged on Tu B'Av, because I like hashkafic things. I wanted to get engaged on Tu B'Av, and I wasn't allowed to, because if we wouldn't have gotten engaged on Tu B'Av, then the wedding invitations would have arrived before we were engaged. So we got engaged on Yud Aleph Av. Right? We had to push up the engagement so they would get before the wedding invitations would get there. So we had a 6 week, and 3 of those weeks we were in Israel. And all I'm thinking about is the wedding, and all I'm thinking about is my wife, and all I'm thinking about is creating this, and nothing else matters. I remember I was sleeping, I was in Israel, and I was in NCS, so I called it Madrik, so I was with the guys a little bit, and then I was running to Jerusalem to see her, and then running back to the guys a little bit, and then I would go into the inner chamber of the office, the only place that had internet, and I'd be up until like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning working on the wedding and figuring things out. I'd sleep for an hour or two and start it all over. I remember by the time I got to the wedding, I'd slept like one night's sleep total, cumulatively, over the last 6 weeks, and you, if you look at pictures of my wedding, there's like only 50% of me there. I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't drinking, nothing, but I didn't even notice. All I could think about was my wife. What else is there to think about? Can you imagine if we got there with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Think about it, just like, I gotta learn, but first let me just have dinner first, and oh, you know what, a little dessert, we'll go figure it out, I gotta take this phone call for the... There's always other things to do. There's always other things to do to shorten davening, to shorten learning, and to shorten the time that we connect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's always things in the way. There's always things in the way. We need to get to be lovesick for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Think about that lovesickness. We need to work on ourselves. It doesn't come for free. It's like, but I don't have it. No, no one has it. We're in the part of the marriage, we have to work for it. To get lovesick again for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That when I eat, I can't stop thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you for this food. It's so delicious. It could have tasted like gasoline just to fuel up. And Mamish tastes like the most amazing thing in the world. Thank you so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now I'm going to go and I'm walking down the street. And I'm walking down the streets of Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh, I live in Israel. How can I not appreciate every Dalet Amos is a mitzvah? And look at the trees of Eretz, look at the fruit of Eretz. This is so amazing. And I come in and I get to teach. I'm teaching Torah. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for letting me teach Torah. And I can still have enough money to feed my family. That's an amazing thing. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for this opportunity. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's, I'm just thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. I don't. Maybe all of you do, and you guys are indulging me. But this is what we need to work on. At least for me, this is what I need to work on. To be lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we can see Him. He is in everything. We should open our eyes and see Him in everything. To get back to that place, I don't need to eat. I don't need to drink. Maybe, perhaps, I'm thinking out loud, that's pshat. The Gemara says that a person who's really kona Torah, it's only if they sleep a little and they eat only a little bit of bread and salt. One layer is you need to, perhaps, roll back from indulging in this world in order to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is more spiritual. Maybe. That's really the upshot. Maybe you could say, how do you know if you're really connecting to Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You don't even notice that you've stopped sleeping. You don't even notice that you've stopped eating except a little bit of bread and salt. You don't even notice that you've stopped putting an emphasis on your physical needs because it's no longer important to you, because all you want to do is get close. Maybe that could be pshat in the Mishnah also. That's what it means to be lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Alkane, first one is Zdonot. Zdonot nasot lo kizchiyot. Then these sins, the mamish even intentional sins, can become zchiyot. Ki bechinat cholei cholei ahava, l'Hashem yibarach hareze inyan shel lemalim yantzeva. Again, when you're lovesick, there is no logic. When you're lovesick, you can't impose any systems on love. Shal yidek, Rav Moshe Weinberger always likes to talk about this. He says, if you go to somebody and say, why do you love your wife? He says, anybody who can list you the reasons, there's something wrong with them and they don't really love their wife. You ask somebody who's actually in love, why do you love your wife? The answer is, because I do. How can I explain that? I can't put words to that. I love her. What do you mean, why do I love my wife? I love her because I love her. There's no logic to that. There's no rationality to that. Right, the old Jewish equation, right? The Jewish equation. That when you get married, 1 + 1 = 1. Math says no. To heck with math. That's what love is. 1 + 1 = 1. Deal with it. We're two halves of one. How? Because we are. Don't ask me questions. I learned with the guys today. That halacha lemaisa. If a woman gives birth and she's in the hospital over Shabbos. If the husband lights Shabbos candles at home, in a different location, she's in the hospital, he's at home. He lights with a bracha. She's not chayevet in Shabbos candles. She can flick on a light, but she can't say a bracha. Why? Because when I light at home, it counts for her. Why? Ishtil kegufo. But we're not one body, and she's miles away in the hospital. No. Don't give me your logic. We're one person. Deal with it. And if you can't, you don't get love. If you're not, you haven't understood love yet. If you don't understand why when I light Shabbos candles, my wife lit Shabbos candles, you don't chop. Some of the guys did, some of the guys didn't, but they still have time. It's only a few weeks into Shana Aleph. We'll get them there, Bezrat Hashem. Right? But slowly but surely. But that's the idea here. That's what we're talking about. It doesn't need to make sense. Because again, with love, you're transforming everything. You're transforming yourself in a whole different way. Again, Chas v'Shalom, we're not saying that it's mutter to sin if you do it from a place of love. And certainly, I've quoted the Mishnah, which says you can't sin on the condition that you're going to do tshuva. This is not a heter. This is saying if lo aleinu Chas v'Shalom, if you sin by accident, you get overwhelmed by your yitzhara. Lo aleinu. If you go back and then you say, you know what, it happened. I messed up. It's over. It happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows me, gives me the opportunity to reach back, to grab onto that Avera. And if I infuse it with love and say, not that this was an act of love, but I'm using this to strengthen my love for you because I realize now that I've become distant from you. The pain of distance shows me how much I long for closeness. Then I can use that to propel me forward and get me close. V'nimsa shehalacha Zo shayacha shapir lelachot tshuva. So in the Rambam, this is more relevant to Hilchos Tshuva even more than halachas of Avas Hashem. Shekan katav Rambam et dargat tshuva haruya, because this is the true tshuva that there is. Tshuva me'ava. She shlimut tshuva, which is the real tshuva. We'll do one more paragraph. We'll try to sneak in one more paragraph. Because Ava, what time? What beginning of Shir? What the end of the Shir? This is love. We gotta go forward. I don't know what time it is. Let's go. V'al pi zeh. Yesh lavin, shegam parashat ha-tshuva. So too, this parsha, nitzavim. This paragraph, parashat ha-tshuva. Mayre b'tshuva me'ava. It's talking about tshuva me'ava. She tachlit ha-tshuva, which is the ultimate tshuva. V'zehu shne'emar, and that's what it says. V'hayak yavou alecha the gomer b'lashon simcha. It says v'haya. The Gemara says whenever it says haya, it's negative. V'haya is positive. Even when all of these things come upon you, all these things, it's v'haya simcha. V'gan v'haya roshei tivot. Even so, he says v'haya is roshei tivot. The word, the letters vav hey yud hey. Yismacha yismichu hashamayim itagel haaretz. That the heavens are in joy and the earth is singing with joy. Demayre b'shlimut tshuva. This is real tshuva. B'dargai la'ich al tshuva me'ava. This is talking about this whole paragraph. It's about tshuva, but it's tshuva me'ava. It's with joy because I'm mamish turning it all around and I'm mamish getting close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shiyudio set tshuva p'nimiyut ha'lev, that a Jew here does tshuva from the depths of their heart. Me'rov avatol Kadosh Baruch Hu, out of a deep love for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why in this paragraph it says again and again, Hashem Elokecha, when it talks about God. Hashem, your God. Because if I feel not that just God is God, God is my God. It's a personal moment. It's a personal connection. It's Hashem Elokecha. It's not just Hashem Elokim. It's not just Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem Elokecha. Ha'elokim shelcha, that's my Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's close, it's personal. Ba'u l'tshuva me'ava, then I come to tshuva me'ava. V'al derech ha'sipor me'rav ha'kadosh Rav Zusha, the Halakha of Zusha, the Halakha of Zusha. The story about Rav Zusha, if you haven't heard stories about Rav Zusha, go find our stories about Rav Zusha. They can change your life, they will change your life. That's where the band Zusha gets its name from. These stories of Rav Zusha, Rav Zusha Manipoli. Tzarich Zelish Zatzal, Shepa Machar Amar Bidrasha Letzi, where there was one time Rav Zusha was giving a drasha to the congregation, and he said, Achim Yikarim, my holy brothers, he said along before Rav Shlomo, he said, my holy brothers, Halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev Etchem Kol Kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you so much. Rav Zusha, who was known that he wasn't so big in Torah, he wasn't so knowledgeable in Torah, but he was the biggest Eved Hashem that there ever was. He was the biggest Eved Hashem that there ever was. And he got up there, and from the shtender, he said, from the bima, he said, do you realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you? Hare banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. You're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'alocha ki Rabbi Meir, and the Alocha follows Rabbi Meir, who says, she'bein kach u'bein kach kruim banim, that whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, it doesn't matter, we're always his children. Even when we sin, you can't break the bonds of genetics. We're always his children. B'ni b'chori Yisrael, we're the firstborn children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're his children, and we can never be separated from that. We're always close to him. Ve'eich zeh she'osim neged Ratzon Yitbarach, so how can you go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Zusha? We're his children. We're his beloved. How could we go against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? V'ga'u kol ha'kal b'vivchia. In those generations, that was all it took. Halavai were like them. They all burst out into tears. Though even in this generation, if we saw Rav Zusha get up there, we'd burst into tears too. A holiness like Rav Zusha. How could you sin? How could you sin if you're the children of Hashem? How could you sin if a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you? How could you do it? How could you do something against your spouse if you love her so much? How could you go against the other spouse if you love him so much? And she loves you so much, he loves you so much. How could you do it? If you really stop them and think, the answer is you can't. If you dig deep past the insanity of the moment, you realize, I can't. I can't do it. How could I do such a thing? And they all start to cry. V'zeu omro, v'shavta Hashem Elokecha, that you need to return to Hashem your God. Shabazet tamun hayisod shel tshuva me'ava. This is the foundation of tshuva me'ava. Shiyudi yargish shehashem yitbarach hu elokecha. That a Jew feels that Hashem is your God. Hashem is my God. Ve'eich osim neged Ratzon Yitbarach. And how could I go against him? One more. Little paragraph. One more. Tachlit shleimut ha'tshuva tshuva me'ava. The perfect tshuva. There's a thing we have to go. If there's a perfect, the real tshuva is tshuva me'ava. Arham adrigashel ahava ruya. Until mamish the proper ahava. Like the Rambam says, shecholechle ahava, that if he loves it for the Shbaruchu, shemitokach zonot naselos chiyot, till you turn the intentional sins into chiyot. Vize umro. And that's what it means when it says, vayaki avo alecha kolad vrimaila. When all these things come upon you, the bracha and the klala, ashnatati the fanecha, vashivot elavecha, and you will go and do tshuva. Kikashir yudi cholechle ahava, when a person's mamish loves it for a Kaddish Baruchu, ainet fo shum abdel. Here are the words here. There's no difference. There's no difference in ba'u alea bracha o klala. It could be bracha, it could be klala, it doesn't matter. If it came from God, I love it. If it's bracha and it came from God, I love it. You know what? If it's klala, but it came from God, who I love and who loves me, I love it. I love it. Can you imagine all of us internalizing that? I'm sitting here in bidud. It's a klala, but a Kaddish Baruch Hu put me here because he wanted to spend more time with me one-on-one. And I chop that. It's a klala, it doesn't matter. It's the worst, but it's the best. It's the worst, but it's the best. Okay, yeah, so my jobs are continuing, but my kids don't have school. And that doesn't make sense, and it's not possible. And I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, based on a true story. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a klala, it's from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. More time with my kids. More time with my kids. This week I managed to at the same time, last week I didn't mean to skip last week. I ended up that I was diagnosed with strep throat. So I literally couldn't talk. The only thing can be away from you all is if I couldn't talk, and I literally couldn't talk. And while I'm getting over strep throat, I also momish managed to fly right over my electric scooter and go tumbling down so rake downhill. Mom, I bruises everywhere. I'm sick, I'm bruised, it's the first week of Shana Aleph, I'm running back and doing zooming in person. Who cares? And I'm learning this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's training me in this. Because it's not... The klacha. I made up a new word. It's a klacha. The klala's a bracha. The klala's a bracha. I'm learning how to go with the flow. And you know what? Wherever I'm supposed to be, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me. Just teach. Just learn. Just go. And sometimes I fail. Today I failed. Sometimes I fail. But if you're lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't matter. Klala, bracha. What's the difference? It's Me'is Hashem. It's Kol HaTova. It's all connectivity. Mikol Masha Kadosh Baruch Hu Shaleach Lo. No matter what a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends my way, Shomeahu Et Dvar Hashem. I hear God's voice. No matter what comes my way, God's talking to me through the brachas and the klalas. Both, I hear only Him. HaMe'oreru Mikayim VaShivot Alavecha, which mamish brings me closer to Him. Ukemod Dichtiv VaHalam VeShavta Hashem Elokecha VeShamata VeKalo. That we return to a Kadosh Baruch Hu when I hear His voice. Shetishmat Kol Hashem Mikol HaBaalecha BeEin Efreshim Bracha Kol. Beautifully saying, meaning VeShamata VeKalo. Not that you hear His voice, that you come back as God tells you to come back. Meaning in the brachas and the klalos, I heard God through everything that came to me. VeShamata VeKalo. I opened up my ears and I heard Him talking to me through everything that was happening to me. The brachas and the klalos. The weddings, and the engagement parties, and the bar mitzvahs, and the simchas, and the joys, and the coronas, and the sicknesses, and the tragedies. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. V'shamata b'kolo. I hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. Kashir Yehudi nimsa b'madriga zo shel ahava. When a Jew reaches the level of ahava. Harehu shomea mikol ha-me'orot et kol Hashem. A person hears in everything that happens to them. They hear God's voice. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. Hazo'eke love, that's crying out to us. Shuvu elai v'ashuv aleichem, just return to me and I'll return to you. Return to me to the good, return to me to the bad. It's all about getting closer to me. Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'mitocha bracha, u'mitorer lihitkarev el Hashem Yibrach kimo mirah klala. And from this bracha, the person is able to bring about in themselves, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even from the klala itself. These are the days. These are our days. The end of Elul, Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a week and a half away. It's the time to get past the Yirah. Time to get past the days of fear and transform them into days of love. To dig deep for the next week and a half at least. And we're all Beinonim. So for the until Yom Kippur and through Sukkot. To dig deep. To find that Ahava, to work, to develop that Ahava, to bring out that Ahava that's inside of me. I know I have that capacity. I felt it in the stupid ways by the corded phone when I was in sixth grade. I know I have the capacity inside myself. I felt it with my wife when we were dating. I feel it with my wife now. I know I have the capacity for it. Now I need to work to bring it out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's there. I have to bring it out. And when I bring out the Ahava this time of year, do tshuva me'ahava, I can transform my life, transform my year, transform the world. I can take all of the black and the darkness of the year and turn it into light for the coming year, into light for Olam Haba, into Or Pnei Hashem. B'ezrat Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to dig deep, to find that Ahava, to believe in ourselves that we can reach that Ahava, to dig deep and accomplish finding that Ahava, bring it out, experience it, do tshuva with it, and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and to see a kibbutz galiot that comes through that, and all return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return to the oneness, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, B'ezrat Hashem, speedily in our days. Shkoach, everybody.